الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، الحمد لله، it's nice to be back after an extended break, winter break. May Allah Ta'ala accept our attendance and make it a means of blessing for us. So we reached hadith number 217. باب من لم يجد المكافأة فليدعو له. In the previous ahadith, we learned that if somebody does somebody a favor, then we should try our best to repay that favor. But if you don't have anything to repay the favor with, right, whether it's something monetary, like a gift, or, you know, with your actions, if you can't do anything, then the least you can do is make dua for the person. حدثنا موسى الإسماعيل قال حدثنا حماد بن سلمة عن ثابت عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن المهاجرين قالوا يا رسول الله ذهب الأنصار بالأجر كله. سبحان الله. The مهاجرين said, يا رسول الله, the Ansar have taken all the reward. The generosity and hospitality and welcoming nature of the Ansar is well known. That when the مهاجرين migrated from Makkah to Medina, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam paired them with the Ansar, and subhanallah, they opened their houses and they shared everything with them. You know, they allowed the Muhajirin to marry their sisters and daughters, and many of them, you know, the famous story of Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman bin Auf, sorry, that his Ansari brother said that, you know, half of my house is yours, half of my wealth, everything I own is yours, and I have two wives. If you wish, I'll divorce one, you can marry her as well. Subhanallah. Abdurrahman bin Auf said, I don't need any of those things, just show me the marketplace and I'll take care of myself. So this was the sacrifice of the Ansar, the generosity of the Ansar. It's unparalleled, unmatched in history. But nowhere will you find an example like this. You know, nowadays, in the media, especially everywhere around the world, well, at least in the Western world, you know, the right wing are on the rise. And one of their, you know, slogans is that, you know, immigrants are coming, taking our jobs and taking our wealth and taking our money and taking our tax money. You know, stop the immigrants, close the borders. But the Ansar, look at them, they're complete opposite. They were welcoming the Muhajirin and opening their houses for them and sharing everything with them. So the Muhajirin say, Ya Rasulullah, the Ansar are taking all the reward. We've got nothing. This is also their humbleness, because the Muhajirin also had a feature and ibadah which the Ansar could not do, which is hijrah, leaving one's house, one's homeland, one's wealth, one's family, everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the most noble acts. But you can see the Muhajirin, their humbleness and their yearning and desire to earn ajr as much as possible. You see, Rasulullah, the Ansar are taking all the ajr, what are we going to get? So Rasulullah replies, قال الله. Rasulullah replied, no, that's not true. مَا دَعَوْتُمُ اللَّهَ لَهُ. As long as you pray for them, وَأَثْنَيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِهِ, and praise them, meaning for their kindness to you. That keep making dua for them and, you know, praise them to their face as well. You know, thank them, show them your appreciation. By praising them, you can show them your appreciation. That if you can't repay them with monetary value, with wealth, then you can show them your appreciation with your words. So do these two things and you will also receive ajr. It's not like they've taken all the ajr. The next chapter, Babun Man Lam Yashkur Innas. The hadith is, and Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, لا يشكر الله من لا يشكر الناس. Okay, and another riwayat that Imam Bukhari has
indicated to in the Tarjama is man lam yashkur in nas, lam yashkur in ba. The meaning is the same. That a person who does not thank people is ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? A person who does not thank people and who is not grateful to people, then he is also not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, there is a question here, what's the meaning of this hadith? Ulama have explained it in many different ways. One is that if a person is not able to thank people he can see and talk to easily, he can understand easily, then how can he ever thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator? People's favors are small in relation to the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person is unable to be grateful to people, how can he manage to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah's favors are so much and so many? Okay. Number two, that thanking people is a part of thanking Allah, because all blessings are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody does something nice for us or gives us something, then in reality, he's only done that for us or given that to us because Allah gave him or her the ability. So now, when you thank them for it, then you thanking them is also a form of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like if an artist draws a really nice picture and you praise the image, you say, "That's a very nice drawing." By praising the picture, you are, or by praising the drawing, you are praising the artist. So, in the same way, when you thank a person, then Allah is the true creator of that favor. Allah is the one who gave the ability. So, you are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third meaning is that a person who is ungrateful to people, then even if he tries to thank Allah, Allah will not accept his thanks and gratefulness. Yeah, Allah will say to him that you weren't grateful to my creation, so I won't accept your gratefulness. Yeah. So these are the three interpretations of the hadith, but the lesson is the same, that just as it's a duty to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his favors, it's also a duty. And it's also instructed and important to thank people for their good that they do to us. Okay, so one who does not thank people does not thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala either. And بهذا الإسناد قال الله لنفسي أخرجي قالت لا أخرج إلا كارها. So this is the same hadith, it's a continuation. That Allah Ta'ala says to the nafs, meaning the ungrateful nafs. If a person dies in a state of ungratefulness, if he doesn't thank Allah and by extension, he has not thanked people for their favors, if a person dies in a state of ungratefulness, then at the time of his death, Allah says to him, that come out, meaning Allah instructs the ruh. Okay, by way of the angel or however is appropriate. But when the ruh is being taken out, then it says, "I only la akhruju illa kariha." I only come out under duress, meaning I will only come out reluctantly, kariha, reluctantly. So what that means is because the ruh and the nafs at the time of death, the soul knows that I have been ungrateful. And therefore, I don't have much to look forward to in the hereafter. In fact, I am looking at going towards punishment in the hereafter, so it doesn't want to leave the body. And this concept is found in other ahadith and Quran ayats as well, that the soul of a believer comes out very easily, like pulling a hair out of dough. Whereas the soul of a disbeliever or an ungrateful and disobedient person comes out with great difficulty, like pulling at a knot, because he doesn't want to leave the body. So the deceased feels more pain as the ruh is leaving the body. May Allah protect us. Next chapter, Babu Ma'unati Rajuli Akhahu. that for a person to help his brother, that we should help each other as much as possible. عن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قيل أي الأعمال خير. It was said to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, which of actions is best? قال إيمان بالله وجهاد في سبيله, to believe in Allah and to struggle in His path. قال فأي الرقاب أفضل. So he said, the same questioner said, so which slaves is most virtuous? Meaning, freeing of which slave? The which slaves, what kind of slaves should we free? We all know that freeing of slaves was highly encouraged and a very virtuous act, but which one is the best? قال أغلاها ثمنا, the highest in price, وأنفسها عند أهلها, and the most precious in the view of its owners. Meaning, the one you like the most. The Quran says, لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون. The true piety can only be achieved by spending what you love. So, the one that the owners like the most, you know, the most well-behaved, the one that serves them best, benefits them the best, and also the one that's the highest in price. So, this is a principle that in any kind of charity, when you, the more beloved the thing is to you, and the more valuable it is, the more reward you will receive. قال أفرأيت إن لم أستطع بعض العمل. What if I'm not able to do some actions? What if I can't do any of this? قال فتعين ضائعا. So he said, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, help a poor person, a destitute person. أو تصنع لأخرق. ضائع, based on some narrations, it can be translated as a person who has a family as well. أو تصنع لأخرق, or do something for an unskilled person, meaning somebody who doesn't have any skill, he doesn't have any profession, he doesn't have any work, so he's unable to earn. Then do some work for him and let him take the wage from it. So, you know, as a charity. قال أرأيت أفرأيت إن ضعفت. So, first of all, it talks about helping people financially. Or if not, فتعين ضائعا. If not, then help them physically by working for them. You know, if they need some work in their house and they can't do it themselves, you do it for them. For example, قال أفرأيت إن ضعفت. The Sahabi asks, what if I'm too weak to do this? I can't do anything. Yeah, I can't spend any, I have no money to spend, and I can't physically help anyone. I've got no way of helping anyone. قال, this is, you know, the Sahaba, may Allah reward them, by asking these questions, they open so much knowledge for us, for the Ummah to come. قال تدعو الناس من الشر. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that refrain from doing harm to people. Okay? Keep people free from your harm. Meaning, just don't be bad to someone. You know, don't be harmful. Don't be a cause of إيذاء, what we call taklif, any kind of discomfort or harm or trouble to anyone. Okay, nowadays, you know, lots of people cause trouble to others with their parking, for example. They park their cars in such a place, in such a way that it disturbs everybody who's trying to drive past. Okay, and you know, sometimes some people make lots of noise late in the evening. You know, they'll put some nasheed or some qira'at on so loud at night, and it disturbs the neighbors. Okay, or in your in their workplace, in place of study, they behave in a manner that troubles others. So if you can't do good, at least refrain from doing bad. فَإِنَّهَا صَدَقَةٌ تَصَدَّقُ بِهَا عَلَى نَفْسِكَ. This is also an act of charity that you do to yourself. Meaning that this is an act of charity because by doing this, you will get reward. And that reward is like you are doing a charity upon yourself. You are gaining reward through this. So therefore, by, if you can't do good, at least refrain from harming and hurting people. That it will also be a form of, or a source of reward for you. بابٌ أهل المعروف في الدنيا أهل المعروف في الآخرة. قبيصة بن برمة الأسدي قال كنت عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فسمعته يقول أهل المعروف في الدنيا هم أهل المعروف في الآخرة وأهل المنكر في الدنيا هم أهل المنكر في الآخرة. قبيصة بن برمة says, I was with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. I heard him say, the people of goodness in this world are the people of goodness in the life to come. Meaning, if you do good things, al-ma'ruf is translated as goodness. Ma'ruf literally means something known or recognized. So it means something which is known to be good. Okay, something which is known to be good. Now, this could be known through Sharia, the Quran or Sunnah tell us something is good, or it could be known through the understanding of decent and good people. Okay, in Uruf. So, what everyone knows to be good. So, in simple terms, all good is Ma'ruf. So, those who are good in this world, they will be people of good and ma'ruf in the hereafter. As Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma elaborates on this, he says that those who are ahlul ma'ruf, who are always good to others in this dunya, or who did lots of good actions in this dunya, when they come in the hereafter, ta'ala, and then is left, lacking these people some of their own. So he says, dunya just in the here. Allah. So who do hum ahlul mun, people of this world, that carried out evil, person will have to
So, Sheikh, your voice is cutting in and out for me.
I think the Bluetooth causes the issue. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a lot better now.
All right. Okay. Jazakallah. So, أنه أخبرهم حرملة بن عبد الله أنه خرج حتى أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فكان عنده حتى عرفه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلما ارتحل قلت في نفسي والله لا آتين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى أزداد من العلم. حرملة بن عبد الله says, I went to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and stayed with him until he recognized me. Okay. Many people would come and go, you know, in large groups. But Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would meet them. But when you stay with somebody for a short period, then you, especially when a public figurehead who is meets so many people, you know, different people are always coming to him. So when you stay with for a short time, for some time, then you get to know each other personally. So I stayed for some time, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recognized me. He got to know who I was. And there's a lesson here as well that we should associate with good people. You know, pious people, and have some ta'alluq with them so that we have a personal relationship and recognition. There's nothing wrong with trying to do that. So when he was about to leave, meaning when Harmala was about to leave, when he was about to travel, فلما ارتحل قلت في نفسي والله لا آتي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى أزداد من العلم. So he says, I thought to myself that by Allah I shall come to Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم so that I can increase my knowledge. I mean, before I leave, let me just take as much knowledge as I can. Let me make the most of those last few moments. فجئت أمشي حتى قمت بين يديه. So I came walking and I stood in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقُلْتُ مَا تَأْمُرُنِي أَعْمَلُ So I said, Ya Rasulullah, what do you command me to do? I mean, tell me something I should do. فَقَالَ يَا حَرْمَلَ اِئْتِ الْمَعْرُوفِ وَاجْتَنِبِ الْمُنْكَرِ O Harmala, do good deeds and refrain from all evil. Munkar, like ma'roof, what is known to be good. So munkar is literally what is not known, meaning what is not known to be good, what is known as evil. Certain things, everyone understands them to be bad. So whatever you know is good, do that. Whatever you know is bad, don't do that. Very concise, jami and simple advice. ثُمَّ رَجَعْتُ حَتَّى جِئْتُ الرَّاحِلَةِ I turned back until I came back to my ride. ثُمَّ أَقْبَلْتُ حَتَّى قُمْتُ مَقَامِي قَرِيبًا مِنْهُ. Then I came back again until I stood in the same place right near Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا تَأْمُرُنِي؟ What do you command me, يا رسول الله؟ قال يا حرملة ائت المعروف واجتنب المنكر. Do good and refrain from bad. وانظر ما يعجب أذنك أن يقول لك القوم إذا قمت من عندهم فأته. And consider what you like people to say about you when you leave them, then do it. وانظر الذي تكره أن يقول لك القوم إذا قمت من عندهم فاجتنبه. And consider what you dislike people to be saying about you when you leave them and avoid this. Meaning, before you do something, just think to yourself that if I do this, what will people say about me? Okay? And if people are going to say good things, meaning decent people, good people, if they will judge this to be a good thing, then that's a good thing. Therefore, you should do that. So, this doesn't mean that we should do things for the sake of people, or we should do things so people praise us. What this means is generally the community and society, at least the good people in the community, what they deem praiseworthy is normally good, especially if you live in a decent society. And whatever they deem to be blameworthy is not good. So that is like a litmus test if you're not sure what's good, what's bad. You know, like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحْيِ فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. When you have no haya, when you don't care about what people say and think, then do what you want. So haya and shame and modesty stops a person from evil. And that's a good thing. Also, مَا رَآهُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَسَنًا فَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ حَسَنًا. So whatever believers, meaning decent, good, mu'mineen, believing people, believe to be good, then Allah also deems that as good. So this shows that it doesn't mean that we do things for the sake of showing people, but if we know that this thing is not good and people will talk bad about me if I do this, that is a sign it's not good, so stay away from that. And if you know that if I do this, people will say good things about it, then that's a sign it's a good thing, so do that. So he says, فَلَمَّا رَجَعْتُ تَفَكَّرْتُ. When I returned, I thought to myself, فَإِذَا هُمَا لَمْ يَدَعَا شَيْئًا, that these advices have left nothing out. Subhanallah. That, you know, two short sentences, but everything good is included and all evil is also included in that. Nothing is left behind. In the next hadith, the same hadith, عن سلمان أنه قال. This is from Salman. This is called Mawquf. When a hadith is from Rasulullah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, muhadithin deem it marfu'. So this is mawqufan from Salman, as if it's his own statement. Many a times, Sahaba would narrate a hadith without explicitly saying, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Sometimes this is ihtiyatan, because they were very cautious in attributing words to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم out of fear that they may mistakenly mistakenly attribute something to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which he did not say. And sometimes it was just because their purpose was to convey the benefit. So they would just narrate a hadith without saying qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And sometimes it could be from the narrators as well that somebody may have changed it. Annahu qala inna ahla al-ma'ruf fi dunya hum ahlu al-ma'ruf fi al-akhirah. Fa qala, so it's the same hadith. إني سمعته من أبي عثمان يحدثه عن سلمان فعرفت أن ذلك كذاك وما حدثت به أحدا قط. It's the same hadith. We can leave that. That the people of good are people of evil. Good in dunya are people of good in the hereafter. باب إن كل معروف صدقة. Same hadith, and Jabir ibn Abdullah, and Nabi said, "Kullu ma'rufin sadaqa." So you see, this Imam Bukhari bring the same hadith from different narrations, different Sahaba, to just indicate towards the different chains of that same hadith. Okay, so first we had from Qabisa bin Burma al Asadi, then from Salman, and now from Jabir, the same hadith is narrated. The next hadith عن أبي موسى عن قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على كل مسلم صدقة. قالوا فإن لم يجد؟ قال فليعتمل بيده فينفع نفسه ويتصدق. قالوا فإن لم يستطع أو لم يفعل؟ قال فيعين ذا الحاجة الملهوف. قالوا فإن لم يفعل؟ قال فيأمر بالخير أو يأمر بالمعروف. قالوا فإن لم يفعل؟ قال فيمسك عن الشر فإنه له صدقة. Similar hadith. Abu Musa رضي الله عنه reports that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "It is the duty of every Muslim to give a sadaqah." There's another version of this very famous, that for every joint in the body, of every bone, there is a sadaqah, and that equals to 360 sadaqah every day. And then يجزئ من ذلك ركعتا الضحى. That if you perform two rakats nafil at the time of four noon, so before midday, before zawal, what we know as salatul duha, and in Urdu we call chashd salah. So that can be sufficient for that. So every Muslim must give some sadaqah. قالوا فإن لم يجد سابع سلا. What if we don't have it? Not every one of us is well off. We can't give sadaqah. قال فليعتمل بيده. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said he should do something with his hands and thus benefit himself and give a sadaqah. Meaning, if you don't have any money, earn some money. Okay, go out, do some work and earn some money and then give sadaqah. This shows that when we go out to earn, you know, we work, we earn our daily bread. Of course, one intention is to fulfill the right of our own body and the right of our families, right? But also you should make intention that I go to work so I can earn and give some money to sadaqah as well. Then you'll get ajr for working for that sake as well. قالوا فإن لم يستطع. If he can't do that, if he's unable to work, أو لم يفعل, or if he doesn't do that, if he chooses not to do that, قال فيعين ذا الحاجة الملهوف. He should assist someone with a pressing need. Somebody who's destitute, who's malhoof, means like pareshan. Somebody who's very perturbed, very disturbed, very troubled. So help him, you know, physically, with your time, you know, with your words, however you can. قالوا فإن لم يفعل. If he can't do this, قال فيأمر بالخير أو يأمر بالمعروف. Then he should enjoin good, command good. قالوا فإن لم يفعل. This is شرط من الراوي أو قال, because they both mean the same thing. أو قال يأمر بالمعروف. قالوا فإن لم يفعل. قال فيمسك عن الشر. Meaning, if he can't help someone physically, he can help them verbally by instructing to do good, by teaching someone something good, right? Telling someone a good word, advising people. This is also a good action. If he can't do that, فيمسك عن الشر فإنه له صدقة. Then he should refrain from doing evil. This is also a charity for himself. Like, just don't harm people, don't hurt anyone. And that is also a form of sadaqah. أن أبا ذر أخبره أنه سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي العمل أفضل؟ قال إيمان بالله وجهاد في سبيله. Which of actions is best? He said, رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, belief in Allah and jihad in the path of Allah. قال فأي رقاب أفضل؟ قال أغلاها ثمنا وأنفسها عند أهلها. قال أفرأيت إن لم أفعل؟ قال تعين ضائعا أو تصنع لأخلاق. Identical hadith went earlier that which slaves are best? He said the highest in price and most precious in the owner's view. So he said, why am I not able to do this? He said, help a poor person who has a family or do something for an unskilled person. قال أرأيت إن لم أفعل؟ why if I don't? قال تدع الناس من الشر فإنها صدقة تصدق بها على نفسك. Refrain from evil. This is also a charity which you do for yourself. 227. There's a mistake here. This is repeated, isn't it? Or is it the same? No, the same hadith is repeated. عن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه قال قيل يا رسول الله ذهب أهل الدشور بالأجور. Yeah, it's not the same hadith, sorry, it's similar. It was said, يا رسول الله ذهب أهل الدثور بالأجور. دثور is plural of دثر, which means piles of wealth, heaps of money, heaps of gold and silver. So people of wealth, the wealthy ones, have taken all the reward. So these are the poor, destitute Sahaba, mostly Muhajirin, who are saying, Ya Rasulullah, the rich ones have taken all the wealth. Why is that? How? Yusallun kama nusalli, they perform salah as we do. Wayasumun kama nasum, they fast as we do. Wayatasaddaquna bifuduli amwalihim, they give their surplus wealth in charity, in sadaqah. And that we can't do that. So they're taking all the ajr of sadaqah. Qala alaysa qad ja'ala Allahu lakum ma tasaddaqun. Hasn't Allah given you what you can give in sadaqah? Inna bi kulli tasbihatin wa tahmidatin sadaqatan. For every tasbih, for every subhanallah, for every tahmid, for every alhamdulillah, is one sadaqah. وَبُضْعُ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً. Even in sexual intercourse, there is sadaqah. So قِيلَ, some of the Sahaba said, فِي شَهْوَتِهِ صَدَقَةً. That, is there sadaqah in satisfying one's sexual desire? قَالَ, لَوْ وَضَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ أَلَيْسَ كَانَ عَلَيْهِ وِزْرٌ. If he was to place it in haram, would this not be a sin? كَذَلِكَ إِنْ وَضَعَهَا فِي الْحَلَالِ كَانَ لَهُ أَجْرٌ. Likewise, if he places it in halal, then this will be a reward for him. Okay? So when a person has relations with his partner, then they should you should make the intention, number one, that this will save us from haram. Number two in this is fulfilling the right of the partner. If the partner also has a haq for their need to be fulfilled. And also, you make intention of having pious offspring, you will have children, they will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will do good deeds. So you make these intentions and you will also gain ajr even for fulfilling one's bodily need. So these are all ways of earning ajr and thawab. There comes a discussion here that what if a rich person does all of this? Okay, a rich person does tasbih and tahmid. Then do they become equal? So ulama have written that yes, Abu Abdullah al-Iskandarani, the famous Abu Ata'illah al-Iskandarani, sorry, or Ibn Ata'illah al-Iskandarani, he has mentioned this, that yes, the rich people, if they can do all these deeds, they will become more virtuous than poor ones. However, most Sufis, most mashayikh of tasawwuf are of the opinion that, generally speaking, the hal of faqr, the poverty and the status of the poor is greater and more virtuous than the status of the rich. One reason is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself chose poverty when he could have been a king and a nabi, but he chose to be a abd and a nabi and a rasul. So he chose to not have riches, and he made du'a, Allah wahini miskina wamitni miskina. And another reason is they say that usually, in most cases, when a person has excessive wealth, then it becomes a distraction. So, for that person who can have wealth and not be distracted by it and not fall into evil, for him wealth is good, like many ahadith say, right? Al-malu khadirun hulwun, and whoever takes it in a good manner without israful nafs, then he will be blessed in it, or words to that effect in the hadith. So there are many ahadith which say that wealth for a good, God-fearing, pious person is a good thing. But because most people, when they become wealthy, they become very easily distracted, this is why the mashayikh say that generally, through experience, we can say that poverty is better for a person. However, many a times poverty can lead to a person doing wrong as well, because he starts doing doing haram to find his rizq and find wealth. Kad al-faqru an yakuna kufran, the hadith says. So obviously we have to be balanced between the two. Chapter 116, Babu Imatatil Adha. عن أبي برزة الأسلمي رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله دلني على عمل يدخلني الجنة قال أمت الأذى عن طريق الناس سبحان الله Abu Barza al-Aslami radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah, I said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me of an action which will enter me into Jannah, admit me into Jannah. He said, remove harm from people's path. Yeah, offensive objects, anything which will trouble people. So if you're walking and there's a stone or there's a brick or there's some rubbish on the way, somebody might trip over it or it's dirty, filthy. Whoever walks past it, you know, will find it dirty and disgusting. So you pick it up and throw it in the bin. You remove the item. You're driving. You see something which could damage someone's car. You move that. Anything which could harm people, to remove that. You know, to look, to help people, look after people, and give comfort to people. You know, to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will be a means of entering into Jannah. From this, the ulama also say the flip side, that if removing harm is a cause for entering Jannah, then what do you think is the consequence of causing harm? You know, causing takleef, troubling people, like we said about, you know, parking the car in a place which troubles people, making noise, disturbing people, throwing things on people's pathways. So just as removing harm is a sadaqah and a means for entering Jannah, so causing harm is a grave sin, a serious sin, which must be refrained from. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, قال مر رجل مسلم بشوك في الطريق فقال لأميطن هذا الشوك لا يضر رجل مسلما فغفر له. Subhanallah. That a man found a branch of a thorny tree in a lane. Sometimes you have trees and they're growing outwards onto the path. He said, I will remove this thorny branch, lest it should harm a Muslim. For this action, he was granted forgiveness of his sins. Allah forgave him his whole life. Whatever sins he did, Allah forgave them for this one action. And Nabi Dharin radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عُرِضَتْ عَلَيْهِ أَعْمَالُ أُمَّتِي حَسَنُهَا وَسَيِّئُهَا فوجدت في محاسن أعمالها أن الأذى يماط عن الطريق ووجدت في مساوي أعمالها النخاعة في المسجد لا تدفن. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was shown the actions of my community, both good and bad. Among the good ones, I found the action of removing offensive objects from people's pathway. And among the bad ones, I found a drop of phlegm which had fallen on the floor of the mosque and been left unburied. Okay. Previously, they used to have, they didn't have carpets in the masjid, it was just sand, you know. So if somebody was to spit in the masjid, then at least, you know, first of all, you shouldn't be spitting unless you need to, but if you do, then at least you'd cover it up with the sand, so that it doesn't give trouble and cause disgust and dislike, you know, discomfort to anyone. So at least you should do that. So if you just leave it out there, then everybody who walks past it has to go see it and, you know, feel discomfort from it. And this is also amongst the bad actions. So anything which troubles someone or causes discomfort is a sin. Babu qawl al-ma'ruf, speaking good. And Abdullah ibn Yazid al-Khatmi رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل معروف صدقة. That any good act or any good, even a good word included, is a form of charity. If you can just speak good to someone, you know, if somebody is feeling upset, you make him feel better, okay? Or somebody is a bit lost, somebody is confused, you guide them, you help them. This is also sadaqah. عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أتي بشيء يقول اذهبوا به إلى فلانة فإنها كانت صديقة خديجة اذهبوا به إلى بيت فلانة فإنها كانت تحب خديجة. أنس رضي الله عنه says that when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was given a present, he would say, take it to so and so, he was a friend of Khadija, or take it to the house of so and so because she loved Khadija. Subhanallah. This shows how much love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for his beloved wife, Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. And that, you know, years after she had left this world, when he received a gift, he would say, give it to so-and-so because she loved Khadija. Give it to a friend of Khadija. This shows the nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that how kind and loving nature he had. That not only did he love his wife, but after his wife left, he continued that relationship through those who loved her. Like we learned previously, the once when a person's father passes away, then one of the ways he can continue that birr and goodness towards his parents is by being good to those who who had love with his parent or friendship with his parent. So likewise, if your wife has passed away, then one way of continuing that relationship with your wife even after she's passed, or the husband after he's passed, is to have good manners and good relationships with friends and family and beloved of the deceased. عن أبي مالك الأشعري عن ربيعي عن حذيفة رضي الله عنه قال قال نبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم كل معروف صدقة. Your Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say every good action is a صدقة. So of course good words are included in there. This is a long story. أن عمرو بن أبي قرة الكندي قال عرض أبي على سلمان أخته فأبى وتزوج مولاة له يقال لها بقيرة. فبلغ أبا قرة أنه كان بين حذيفة وسلمان شيء. So this Abu Qurra is a tabi'i. So he recommended Salman to marry his sister. He proposed to Salman for his sister, that why don't you marry my sister? Fa'aba, Salman refused for whatever reason, and rather he married a freed slave of his, who was called Buqayrah. So, فبلغ أبا قرة أنه كان بين حذيفة وسلمان شيء. Sometime later, Abu Qurra learned that there was some issue between Hudhayfa and Salman. Okay, what's this issue? And the issue is that Sayyidina Hudhayfa ibn Yaman, radiallahu anhu, would sometimes tell people of certain incidents in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam might have got displeased and upset with a certain Sahabi, and he, in that state, he may have said some things about him. Okay, now this is natural. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like a father to the Sahaba. He was their murabbi, he was their teacher, their sheikh, their guide. So sometimes it was normal that he would become upset with some Sahaba, and he might say something to them. So Huzaifa bin Yaman, he had a, what can you say, a very innocent nature. So he just used to tell people about that. So this happened, that happened, without thinking too much about it. But Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu didn't like this, because he felt like, that thing has passed now. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the senior. He had the right to say those things about those people, but there's no need to mention those to people now. Okay, and he thought it wasn't wise to do this. So because of this, there was this like sort of a disagreement. So Abu Qurra came to discuss this with Salman. So he's trying to make peace between the two and talk about this disagreement. Here we can see that Abu Qurra, even though Salman refused to marry his sister, he didn't take offense by this, and he didn't, this wasn't a, cause of him having any dislikedness or rancor or malice in his heart. He kept relations as normal, to the extent that, he's trying to help Salman reconcile with another Sahabi, Huzaifa ibn Yaman. So he comes to visit him for this reason. فأتاه يطلبه, he came looking for him. فأخبر أنه في مبقلة له. So he was informed that he is in a garden, vegetable garden, like an allotment, you could say. Okay. This is, I forgot to read the chapter heading, باب الخروج إلى المبقلة. Imam Bukhari is saying that it's okay for a person to go out to his vegetable garden. Okay, now, if you live in the city, but on the outskirts somewhere, you have these allotments, your vegetable gardens. If you have one and you go out there to do some gardening, to plant things, like our Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Mutala rahmatullahi alayh, Just a few days ago, I read Maulana Kamaluddin in Olden Rights. The Hazrat had green fingers. Green fingers meaning he loved planting and he loved, flowers and vegetables and things like that. Maulana Kamal says that once I brought him some special plant from Japan and he got very happy with it. And myself, I remember once I went for Umrah, so Hazrat said to me that, bring these three types of mint. You'll find them in the market of Medina. Bring them for me. So I brought the actual plant in the pots. And as I planted them in his house. So this, gardening is very good. There are many benefits for it. Physically as well. Psychologically, it helps a person. And physically, you have to be active. And also in terms of ajr, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if anybody plants a tree, and then any bird or any human who benefits from it, he will continue to get ajr from there. So you may plant a tree, and the tree may bear fruit, for decades later, and you'll continue getting that thawab. So Imam Bukhari is saying that it's okay to go out to one's vegetable garden and to plant vegetation and to what do you call it, harvest it and bring it home. There's nothing wrong with this. وَحَمْلِ الشَّيْءِ عَلَى عَاتِقِهِ إِلَى أَهْلِهِ بِالزَّبِيلِ and to carry it in a sack to your family. These are all nothing wrong with this. So this is the main purpose of this hadith. It's a long story, so we'll go through the whole story. So when Abu Qurra, is looking for Salman, he's told that Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu has gone to one of his vegetable gardens, a vegetable garden of his. فَتَوَجَّهَ إِلَيْهِ, so he turned towards it. فَلَقِيَهُ, so he met him. مَعَهُ زَبِيلٌ فِيهِ بَقْلٌ, and Salman radiallahu anhu had a sack filled with vegetables. قَدْ أَدْخَلَ عَصَاهُ فِي عُرْوَةِ الزَّبِيلِ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ عَاتِقِهِ, and he had put his stick into the knot of the sack and lifted it onto his shoulder. Okay, so this makes it easier to carry, that there's a long stick and it's resting on his shoulder and the sack is hanging at the back. فَقَالَ أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ, so Abu Qurra addresses Salman radiallahu anhu by his kunya out of respect, that, oh Abu Abdullah, ma kana baynaka wa bayna Hudhayfa, what happened between you and Hudhayfa? Qala, yaqulu Salman, so Salman says, wa kana al insanu ajula, man is ever hasty. This is a Quran ayah, so he's indicating that don't rush, take your time, you've just seen me yet and you're already asking the question. Let's go, let's sit down, then let's talk. Yeah, so don't be so hasty, don't rush. فانطلقنا حتى أتيا فانطلقا سوري حتى أتيا دار سلمان. So they came to Salman's house, meaning where the garden was. He had a little, like sort of a hut or a house there. فدخل سلمان الدار فقال السلام عليكم. So Salman radiallahu entered the house and he said السلام عليكم. ثم أذن لأبي قرة. So he went in first. He saw that there's nobody there. His wife is not there to make sure that parda is done. And then he permitted Abu Qurra to enter. فدخل فإذا نمط
Islam, Sheikh, the voice is gone again.
I don't know why that's happening. Is he still
Okay,
gone?
and it's back now.
Okay, that's strange. I don't know why that. So by his so there is a mat, a sort of a cloth or a rug. Yeah, it's yeah, a fiber mat. It says here, placed at the doorway, and there were some bricks at the top. So the bricks are like almost like a pillow, maybe, to be used as a pillow. وَإِذَا قُرْتَاتٌ, and also there is a saddle.
Sorry, Sheikh, what did you say after when he went in? He
So
said
he said
Salaam alaikum,
Assalam.
and then he permitted Abu Qurra to enter, and then we didn't really start hearing.
Okay, yeah, so he permitted Abu Qurra to enter, meaning he went in and made sure that the ladies are in hijab, or there's no ladies there, or there's no nothing else in the house which to be concerned about. And then he permitted Abu Qurra to enter. So when he entered, Abu Qurra saw that there's a very simple rug placed on the floor, and There's some bricks by the head of the rug. So, you know, the bricks were probably used like pillows. And there's a saddle there. It's a very simple little house. And فقال اجلس على فراش مولاتك التي تمهد لنفسها. So Salman رضي الله عنه says to Abu Qurra, sit on the rug of your servant, which she has put out for herself. Okay? So I'm not sure if this is probably idafa. Your servant is probably just doing majazan. It's not really Abu Qurra's servant, unless the one he married was Abu Qurra's freed slave. But I don't think that is the case. So it's just sometimes when it's our own thing, but we tajawuzan, you can say metaphorically, we say here, you know, your slave, and it's my slave, like to show that what's mine in your mine is yours, maybe, like it's ours. Wallahu a'lam. So he said, sit on the rug of your servant, which she has put out for herself. So the servant probably used to work in the garden, and when it was time for rest, she used to rest there on that rug. ثم أنشأ يحدثه. Then he began to speak. فقال إن حذيفة كان يحدث بأشياء كان يقولها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في غضبه لأقوام. سلمان رضي الله عنه says that indeed حذيفة رضي الله عنه would sometimes speak of some things which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say in state of anger to certain people. فأوتى فأسأل عنها. So people would come to me and ask me, then what do you think about this? فأقول حذيفة أعلم بما يقول. So Salman did not agree with what Hudhayfa was saying, or he didn't approve of it at least, but he didn't criticize him. He would just say, Hudhayfa أعلم بما يقول. Hudhayfa knows better. Right? I'm not going to comment on it. I'm not going to say it's good. I'm not going to say it's wrong either. Hudhayfa knows best. وأكره أن تكون ضغائن بين أقوام. And I dislike that there be any rancor amongst people. Right? Meaning, if Hudhayfa is going to say these things, then people will have some ill feelings towards those Sahaba, who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said something about in state of anger. So I don't believe that those things should be said. فَأُوتِيَ حُذَيْفَ. So now some people come to Hudhayfa, the same people go to Hudhayfa. فَقِيلَ لَهُ إِنَّ سَلْمَانَ لَا يُصَدِّقُكَ وَلَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بِمَا تَقُولُ. So they say to Hudhayfa, that, you know, we asked Salman about the things you say, and neither does he confirm them, nor does he deny them. So, you know, it's almost as if he doesn't agree with you. And he's trying to say that what you're saying is not true. It seems like that. He doesn't clearly say it, but it indicates that. فَجَاءَنِي حُذَيْفَ. So Salman is saying, Hudhayfa came to me, فَقَالُ يَا سَلْمَانِ ابْنَ أُمِّ سَلْمَانِ. O Salman, son of the mother of Salman. This is, shows that he's not very happy with him. Because, you know, you can see Abu Qurra said, Ya Aba Abdullah, isn't it Aba Abdurrahman? You know, he used his kunya, Aba Abdullah, to show respect. But, you know, O son of your mother, that's not very most respectful. So it's to show that I'm not very happy with you. Now, O Salman, son of Umm Salman. So Salman replies, Ya Hudhayfa, Ibn Ummi Hudhayfa. So, yes, what? Mother of son of mother of Hudhayfa. You're your mother's son. Yes, because I'm my mother's son. لَتَنْتَنْهِيَنَّ. When you refer to someone to their parent, then you're showing, then, you know, they, obviously a person is younger than his parent, smaller than his parent. So you're indicating to their junior, nature of being junior. Well, when you say Aba Abdullah, you're referring to their children, and a person is always older and greater in relation to their children. So you're referring to their greatness, which is respect. So by referring to his mum, not always, but over here, the purpose is to almost, you know, in a very subtle manner, to belittle the person, to express the, you know, his lack of happiness with him. فَقُلْتُ يَا حُذَيْفَ إِبْنَ أُمِّ حُذَيْفَ لَتَنْتَهِيَنَّ أَوْ لَأَكْتُبَنَّ فِيكَ إِلَىٰ عُمَرُ. Okay. Salman makes the ultimate threat. He says, either you stop telling these stories, or I'm going to write about you to Umar. فَلَمَّا خَوَفْتُهُ بِعُمَرُ. When I warned him with the name of Umar, تَرَكَنِي, he left me. He said, you know what?
Don't go to Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar had a certain awe and respect amongst all the Sahaba. He said, no, if you're going to go to Umar, leave anyway. It's okay. So that's the end of the story. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من ولد آدم أنا فأيما عبد من أمتي لعنته لعنة أو سببته سبة في غير كنهه فجعلها عليه صلاة. Now over here Salman رضي الله عنه is explaining his reason for why Huzaifa should not narrate these things that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said when he was upset with certain Sahaba. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am one of Adam's children. If I ever curse or abuse anyone of my community when he does not deserve it, then may Allah make it a blessing for him. So even if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upset with somebody for whatever reason, he himself made dua that whenever I say something bad about someone, Ya Allah, make that a blessing for that person. So it's become a blessing for that person. It's no longer a something negative for that person. So what is the purpose of us narrating it now? Yeah, we shouldn't narrate that anymore. Rasulullah himself made dua for that person and made it a blessing for that person. This is why Hazrat Salman is saying that I don't believe that we should narrate these things. We'll cover the next hadith as well. Because this is the same chapter, the same topic. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu qala, qala
Can I
Umar.
ask a question?
Yes.
Just so you said we were not supposed to say that dua?
No, we should say this dua. We can break this dua. Allahumma ma.
The
If
one
you
about
can.
that if I ever curse or abuse anyone in my community, may God make it a blessing for him.
Yeah, this is a dua. In fact, if you read Al-Hizb al-A'zam, Mullah Ali Al-Qari, in his collection of du'as, he's actually included this. Allahumma ayyuma mu'minin aadaytuhu aw la'antuhu aw shatantuhu faj'alhu lahu salatan wa zakatan tuqarribuhu biha ilayk. If you see Al-Hizb al-Azam, this du'a is actually
Okay.
there. But, oh Allah, if I ever curse or bad mouth or swear at any Muslim, then make it a faj'alhu salatan, a prayer, wa zakatan, and a source of purification. And a sadaqah for him through which you will make him or her closer to you. So, this is the recommended dua. What I was saying is, Salman radiallahu anhu is saying that Huzaifa was narrating statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which he made when he was displeased with certain people. So, Salman is saying those statements don't stand anymore. They don't, they're not valid anymore because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I ever curse someone, that should be turned. He asked Allah to make that into a dua for that person. So then, what's the purpose of narrating that now? Yeah, why narrate Rasulullah's displeasure for someone when Rasulullah himself said that when I am displeased for someone, oh Allah, make that into a source of pleasure and closeness to you.
Jazakallah khair.
So Ibn Abbas narrates, قال عمر رضي الله عنه أخرجوا بنا إلى أرض قومنا. Umar رضي الله عنه said, let us go to our people's plot. So again, this is talking about, you know, if you have a garden outside the city where you grow things and you go out there to take care of them, there's nothing wrong with that. فخرجنا, he says, we went out. فكنت وأنا أبي بن كعب في مؤخر الناس. Ubay bin Ka'b and I were at the end, at the back. We were behind everyone. فهاجت الصحابة sorry. So some clouds gathered. You could see it was about to rain. فقال أبي اللهم اصرف عنا أذاها. أبي said رضي الله تعالى عنه, أبي بن كعب the famous صحابي أقرأهم لكتاب الله, أبي بن كعب the greatest reciter, the most proficient reciter of the Quran amongst the Sahaba is أبي بن كعب. So he made dua, oh my Rabb, my Lord, spare us its harm, meaning the harm of the rain. فَلَحِقْنَاهُمْ, so we joined them. When we reached the place we were going to, وَقَدْ ابْتَلَّتْ رِحَالُهُمْ, and their saddles were wet. That means they were all drenched because of the rain. فَقَالُوا مَا أَصَابَكُمْ الَّذِي أَصَابَنَا, did this rain not affect you, which affected us?
Did you not get wet? قلت إنه دعا الله عز وجل أن يصرف عنا أذاه. سبحان الله. Look at the yaqeen they had in their du'as. Ibn Abbas said to Umar radiallahu anhu that Ubay made this du'a that may Allah ta'ala turn the harm of the rain away from us. فقال عمر رضي الله عنه ألا دعوتم لنا معكم. But why did you not include us in your du'as? You made du'a for yourself and you remained dry, but you didn't make du'a for us and we got drenched. So he's just saying you could have made du'a for all of us. You know, this is one of the du'as with regards to rain is Allahumma hawalina la alayna, Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. So Allah make it rain around us, not on us. You can make this du'a. Or generally, make du'a Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. Or Allah make it beneficial rain. I'll just finish with one very short story. I'm sorry to go over the time. When our Hazrat, our Shaykh Mawlana Mutala, he once was visiting Portugal, and they had a huge event. So they had put up some tents for the event because the building wasn't big enough to host everyone. But obviously with the tent, you know, if it rains, the ground gets wet. It's very uncomfortable. So one of the scholars who had invited Hazrat, he says that, you know, Hazrat, please make dua it doesn't rain. Because, you know, we don't want the, you know, people are coming for the event, so we don't want it to rain as the floor will get wet. So Hazrat said, no, I can't make this dua. Imagine, first of all, because where the madrasa is, it was in Portugal, Palmela. So the area is surrounded by farms. She said, you know, all these farmers are making dua and praying or wishing and hoping for rain, you know, for their crops. So how can we be so selfish and pray for no rain? Secondly, think of all the animals, the birds, the different creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who need that rain. So why should we be so selfish to make dua for it not to rain? So we shouldn't ask Allah to stop the rain. However, we can ask Allah to make the rain beneficial, or we can ask Allah, Ya Allah, make it rain around us, not directly, on us, or Ya Allah, save us from the harm of the rain, like Ubay bin Ka'b said here, Allahumma sirif anna adhaha. Ya Allah, don't let us be harmed by the rain. So these are du'as that we can make. We shouldn't ask Allah to stop the rain, because the rain is something we need all the time. You know, the rain is a blessing and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the first rain of the season would come, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go out and he would, you know, you could say he would shower. He would wet himself with that rain on his hair, and his would open up his shirt and on his chest as well. He would rub that rain water. But this is a blessing. Hadithu ahdin bi rabbi is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would welcome the rain. So also we see here how the Sahaba were mustajab al-da'wat and how much yaqeen they had on their du'a. That he asked Allah, don't let us be harmed by the rain, and immediately nothing happened to them. These people who are probably a few hundred feet ahead of them are drenched, and these two Sahabi at the back, they're not even wet a little bit. Subhanallah. This is because their yaqeen was strong. Because they had yaqeen, the du'as were accepted. When the yaqeen is not there, when the faith is weak, then it takes time for du'a to be accepted. If you have yaqeen like the yaqeen of the Sahaba, all our du'as will be accepted immediately, inshaAllah. The next chapter is similar, Babu al-Khuruj ila al-Dai'ah. We'll continue from there next week, inshaAllah. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.